morning, we're starting a couple of weeks of a series on limitless life, living without limits. Just the idea of we serve an amazing, limitless God who's got enough grace, enough love, enough power, enough of everything for us to live a life that's pleasing, that's fulfilling, that's exciting, that's got the limits taken off. And so my subject this morning is limitless faith, and it relates to a Christian life. I want to talk basically about living our lives full on for God. But I want to describe a little bit about faith and what it means and challenge you this morning in living for God without limits. You know, when you talk about limitless life, you can go anywhere with it. But there's so many things that limit us, and one of them was ingratitude. I talked about it last week, that just rob us of the joy of life and selfishness. And I could talk about all the things that rob us of this life. But what gives limitless life to us is seeing and knowing God and who He is, and trusting Him and putting our faith in Him and walking with Him every day. And I pray that you're doing that. I pray that we're experiencing some of that. On a gray Sunday morning when the snow and it's minus 20, sometimes that dumbing down, the shrinking down of your life, trying to just hibernate, get through February, can sink in on you. When we have to say, no, we're going to shake it off. We're going to live a limitless life, a life of gratitude, a life of faith, a life of love, a life of serving God in amazing ways. And when you don't feel gratitude is when you need to be more gracious. And when you don't feel love is when you need to love more. And when you don't feel like worshiping is actually when you need to worship more. It's when the enemy comes in like a flood. God said He would raise up a standard. He raises up and you say, yes, I see that. I can overcome that. It's Carrie's word this morning. We lift up our heads. We can look at this or we can lift up our heads and see, no, but God is for me. Look what God has done. And I wish you could have heard Carol's testimony this week, the lady we prayed for last week, and just heard her speak what happened in her life, and to meet her from when we were there to Friday this week, how God broke into their circumstance. Does that mean every problem solved? No, but there is hope in God. When you go from no hope to hope, you go from death to life, that's as big as it gets. And my prayer this morning is that we would leave here with something of that faith in God that's limitless. It says, I can do all things through Christ. I can conquer the circumstance. I can have victory in my life. And one thing I was very thankful for, I'm trying to fulfill my own preaching last week, to be grateful. I am thankful for the men in this church. We had a social night on Friday night. And I just was sitting at the table looking at the guys who were there after we were doing some bowling. We won't mention how terrible the bowling was, but to sit with guys, and I just looked across the table and amazing men who God has added to this church. Amazing men. And I thank God for that. I thank God for, I could start going through this audience and just thanking God for people and what they've done and who they are, what they mean to us. So, let's praise God. Let's be thankful this morning. So turn in your Bibles, please. I'm going to read a couple of verses, but if you want to just wait for me, and I'm getting to it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. It's not on the screen yet, but we'll get it. We'll get to it if you just want to open your Bibles there. But my topic this morning is limitless faith. Faith. And so I got, if you go to the next slide, just quickly, the way faith is used in the Bible, there's four different ways it's used. And I want to just run through it quick. And it says, first of all, the Greek word is pistis, is used four ways. This word faith. When we say faith, limitless faith, what are we talking about? Well, we use it in different ways. In the Bible, first of all, it's personal belief. It's a mental acceptance and acknowledgement of God's existence without sight. And one of the famous verses, most popular, is Hebrews 11, verse 6. 11 verse 1 and verse 6, assurance of things hoped for, convictions of things not seen. Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, we look not at things seen, but at things not seen. Corinthians 5 verse 7, 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. But the idea is, faith is this acceptance and acknowledgement of what we can't see, but we trust and put our hope in and in a living God who then shows himself to us. He speaks to us. He regenerates us by his Holy Spirit. He comes and ministers to us, and we put our trust and our faith in him. And it's not just a mental accepting, it's an acknowledgement and an acting on it. And I'll explain a little more about that in a minute. But if you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to move from a place of unbelief to a place of belief, a place of death to life, from not trusting to trusting God. Have faith in God. And that's what separates Christianity from everything else, is that there is a faith that we need, that God gives us, that we just know that you know that you know there is a God, that he loves us, that he sent his son Jesus. That's faith. When we talk about faith, it's a personal thing. It's a personal relationship with God Almighty, and it's in us. And we, by faith, are saved. By putting our trust in him, by putting our minds on him and believing what he has said and what he's done, and him working in our lives and changing us, we know without a doubt we are saved. We have assurance of our salvation. The second one is a conduct or work inspired by the complete surrender to this mental acceptance. Just as repentance can be seen, faith can be seen. We show our faith by our works, James 2, verse 14. Must have obedient faith. You know, the Bible talks a lot about obedience. They go together, faith and obedience, trusting and following, hearing and obeying. It's talking about a life that's lived for God. When we talk about faith, it's talking about a conduct or a work, the faith of God. And the third one is a trusting or trustworthiness. When you say faith, Romans 3:3, the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the stewards must be faithful. So there's an aspect of faith, it's just faithfulness. There's the believing, there's the living, and then there's the just being trustworthy, and knowing God is trustworthy is part of faith. When we say have faith, we have limitless faith. We're talking about this amazing life in God that starts with us trusting him, following him, and living for him. And then the last one is it's a system of doctrine or moral peculiar to the Christian or to Christianity. It's, you know, James talks about it. Jude says contend for the faith. Galatians says preach the faith he once tried to destroy. Ephesians, there's only one faith. Ephesians 4:23, until we all come to the unity of the faith. So this word faith gets used in a few different ways in the Bible, four of them. And I hope that helps us to understand, you know, we could spend our whole morning on any aspect of faith. We need faith to live this life. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without trust in him, without then not just in your mind, but then putting your trust in him and following him and living for him and serving him with your whole life and obeying him, it's impossible to please God. But it's by faith. We are saved by faith, not by our works. But because of that faith and because of that relationship with God, then James says, then we show it by our works. We show it by our life. We show it by our gratitude. We show it by living a faithful life, a life that's pleasing to God. Does that make sense? So do you have faith this morning? Well, then let me see it. That's the simple way. Do you have faith? Then put your hope in God. Know without a doubt. See, what limits our life is we say, I believe Jesus, I trust him, but then we carry our own sin around. That's the first definition of faith. When we put our trust, we're saved by faith. We have to have that assurance of faith in us that I am saved. I live a saved life. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I have that assurance put in my heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. He sealed it in my life by his Holy Spirit. I am a new creature in Christ. I've been born again. All things are become new. Sometimes you look at me and all you see is the old, but there's some new in here. It's the Spirit of God in me working out from within, working out. That's what gives me that assurance. I know I'm saved. If you do not have that assurance this morning, call out to Jesus. Ask him to give you faith, to put that faith in you this morning, that you just know that you know that you know. Then the second part of it is then live it. Live that life. Live that limitless life. Not this little puny, dumbed down, silent, sad, depressed life. Live this big life of gratitude, an amazing life of God's power. And does that mean everything in our life is good? No. We talked about it last week. But in all things we are rejoicing. In all things we are grateful. In all things we have faith in God. Whatever comes, my old Texan preacher, R.W., you know, I'm never down. I'm either up or I's a getting up. You know that picture of the, I may look like I'm down, but I'm just getting up. You know, you want me to preach like an American? I can do it this morning. Whatever will make you wake up. But we live a life of faith in God. I may look like I'm doing bad. I may look like I'm struggling today. But I am just getting back up. Because I have faith in God. I have faith in God for my kids. I have faith in God for my family. I have faith in God for my finance. I have faith in God to change circumstances. And I don't care what doctors tell me. I have faith in God that He's able to touch my body. We were just talking with someone yesterday, Jeff actually. We were talking about ministry and overseas and living overseas. And in 1982, I was battling with malaria, sicker than a dog in language school in Tanzania. Couldn't get over it. It was typhoid and it was malaria and it was stuff. This language school we're in. In 1982, Lori's dad, of one of the two phone calls we got in 4 years, prayed for me that I'd never get malaria again. And I remember thinking on the phone, I didn't have a lot of faith. I'm like, wow, that's a pretty good prayer. From 1982 till today, I never got malaria again. And while we were talking about it, you know, I thought I had it a couple of times. I got tested. It was just fever. It wasn't homa. And it wasn't homokali. In Tanzania, if you get homokali, it means you're dead. You know, there's only two diseases. There's fever and a bad fever. So if you get a bad fever, it's probably cancer, AIDS, or typhoid or something, and you're dead, whatever. But I never got malaria again. So what we were talking about yesterday is, you know, going to do ministry. We're going there in March back to Kenya. My boss said, do you take malaria pills? And I visited, we spent 30 years there, and then we visited many, many times back and forth. And it's like, do you take pills? I'm not stupid, but say amen there. I may look stupid, but I'm not. But I have prayed with thousands, tens of thousands of people, coughing, choking, AIDS, disease. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of stories of what you got to do to protect yourself. I'm telling you, either Jesus heals or He doesn't. And I've seen Him heal. I have seen Him deliver. He has kept us for 30 years. I have seen Him change lives and circumstances. Have faith in God. Trust God. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. No matter what your circumstance, no matter how you feel this morning, it's not about how you feel. I know I'm saved. I might not even feel like it today, but I know that I know the work of Christ in me does not depend on me. It depends on Him and what He did. It's not a big faith that I have in a little puny God. It's a little faith in an amazing God who saves. And He saved me. And He heals me. And He keeps me. And He gives me a life that I can live. A life that has meaning, a life that has purpose. And when I obey Him and I follow Him and I walk with Him, hey, I have a life. Does it mean I have no troubles? No, but I have a purpose and I have a life to live in God. So that's where I'm going this morning. Limitless faith, a limitless life of action and fulfillment in Christ. I want to talk about the life side of it, obeying and serving God. When I talk about faith, I'm talking about the faith. I'm talking about contending for this faith. I'm talking about the life we live in God and trusting Him and obeying Him. Does that make sense? I'm not necessarily talking about salvation today. I'm talking about the life of faith that we live for God. As in salvation, I think I put those two statements. Oh, those are tiny writing. I hope you got good eyes up there. There cannot only be a mental assent to the truth. There must be an acceptance and an action or an obedience to the truth. So the Bible says the devil believes, but he's not saved because he doesn't act upon it. He does not repent. He does not turn to God. He does not follow after God. And so just as in salvation, when you say, I am living a life of faith, the life of God, there has to be some fruit of it. There has to be some action that goes with it. People have to be able to see faith in your life. Amen? There has to be something change in your life. It's not enough to know about the Bible or to even understand it, but then to obey it and to live it out and to serve God faithfully in it. I enjoyed life group at Ash and Nash's place. on Thursday, and they're talking about James and going through the book. And James says we must be doers of the word. Amen? Not just hearers. When God asks us and created us for a purpose and a calling, it's because he knows us. He built us. And he wants us to live this life that's a life of faith, a life of service, a life that's got meaning and purpose. And so Paul, read Paul's letters. From the moment he met Christ, every letter he wrote to the last letter in prison, he's writing to them, challenging them, follow me as I follow Christ. Press on, take hold of, fight the good fight. Live this life, man. And he never quit saying that his whole life. You and I have a calling. What's your calling? And this morning, if we could take time and go through all the folk in this room, your business. I love when I hear Brad talking about his chiropractic practice, and it's a ministry. They are ministers of the gospel when they serve God in their work, and different ones, your companies and your positions and places. I want to thank Milka. She's one of those ones that helped this couple this week. Bless you. People who are just willing to just pray and just serve God with their life. That's what brings purpose and meaning in our life. It's when we fulfill what God has called us to be. So we were saved and called. The second example I want to use is Matthew 22. You know the chapters. The verse, I'm sure you got to memorize. The whole Bible's memorized, I'm sure. 22, verse 37 to 38. But he says, love the Lord your God with all your hearts and all strength. Your neighbor is yourself. Amen? You remember that verse? You can go look it up. But in that verse, is it on there? Oh, just a reference. But reveals three aspects of the will of God. To serve and love God, to serve our neighbors, and to nourish ourselves, take care of ourselves. Nobody kills himself. We're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. You see all three aspects of faith in that verse. Love God, serve others, and take care of yourself. In that order, it's a good order. Love others as you love yourself. It goes together. As you are growing and as you are nourishing and as you're growing in God, yourself, love others the same way. Our relationship with God, our service to others, and I said it, our nourishment and self-welfare. The problem with much of the gospel today, and I don't want to harp on it, much of the prosperity gospel, much of what's going on, is it takes the focus off of God, takes the focus off of serving others, and puts it on me, and what are my needs, and what is my financial circumstance, and what is God doing for me, and what is the church doing for me, and it's backwards. It's not a life that's inspiring. It's not a life that God is calling us to. He's calling us to life to love God first. That's the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. Love God. Then when you do that, life will have purpose. Life will have meaning. You'll see others, and you will be blessed yourself. The third one is limitless faith. Christian life, I'm talking about Christian life, comes from the root of intimacy and relationship with Christ. Philippians 1, verse 21 to 24 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fulfill fruitful labor for me, he says. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Paul understood something about faith. The purpose of life is found in our relationship with Jesus and in our service to others for him. So when I say limitless faith, I mean a limitless life in God. A limitless life of living and loving God. And what comes from that is you serve others. You have room for others. You fulfill that. It's like I said, salvation is not just to know the facts about Jesus. It's to accept him by faith, to be changed, to be born again, to be regenerated. Christian life, living the faith, is not just to learn about it, not just to study it, not just to come and get some facts. It's to come and worship a living God and serve one another and have purpose, have meaning, have passion again in our lives that comes from God. How's your relationship with God? How is that being worked out in your life today? So let me end this thing as best I can. Faith is participation. When we say a life of faith, so I said you cannot separate salvation and your calling. They're one. Faith is participation. Faith is action. Faith is our life. And the examples I are on there for this one is the soldier, the farmer, the household, the body, are all used to describe Christian life. Christian life has to be action. It has to be me living out something of my life. Otherwise, I'm that 600-pound guy. Feed me, feed me, feed me. You know, the saddest thing about that program, sorry for going back to that terrible example, is the people who just keep bringing food, this codependency of just, this is a terrible example, but I don't want to be that guy that just keeps bringing to you some more food. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Amen? Think of that picture. Paul says, you know, you should be eating meat. You shouldn't just be still, you should be teaching others. You should be way past, like you should be growing up. You should be exercising this thing, not just feed me, feed me, feed me. And the people who wait to be fed and fed and fed, trust me, there's a place when you need to say, hey, pray for me. We do that. We need help. We need encouragement. We need people to speak into, trust me. But there has to be something of wake up and fulfill the call that's on your life. Wake up and serve God. Wake up and do something. Like live an example, if nothing else, for your kids and for your family and come alive in God. Be a soldier, be a farmer, be a household, be the body of Christ. Fulfill the calling. What's your place in the body of Christ? What is it? Find it. You say, forgive me, but it's like church is so dull and boring and empty. And yes, because you're dull and boring and empty and putting nothing in. You put nothing in, nothing comes out. You put nothing into your marriage. What do you expect? You put nothing into relationships. What do you expect? You put nothing into work. And whatever you're talking about, you can't expect to get a harvest. And it's the same with our relationship with God. Our faith, limitless faith, comes as we step out and we take steps and we get involved and we do things. And I've shared this many times, but I remember, you know, we had our own ministry back in the day called Help International. I remember writing brochures. Lori called me a fake. I've shared that testimony a few times. You know, you've never left Evansburg and you're calling yourself Help International. You know, it's like we didn't have gasoline to get to Edmonton, but so I'm making this brochure. We're going to reach the nations and we're going to, you know, help needy kids. And I had listed, I should have kept those brochures. Amazing. And you know what? Everything on there was fulfilled. What we learned in our life in 30 years in Africa is whatever we felt to write down, whatever we felt challenged, God fulfilled it. We'd go back and look. See, look what he did. Look what he did. You dream it. You believe it. You trust God for it. It's amazing what God comes through with. You act upon it. And so I'm ending by saying, what is God challenging you to act upon? To ignite faith, to show forth faith, to live out your calling. Not just to be saved. Thank God for salvation, but it's not just to get through life and survive. We're not just here just to hang on till Jesus comes. He's got a life for us to live, to make a difference, to impact people, impact the city, impact our families, impact business, impact all the mountaintops that we talked about of entertainment and media and government and education and health and all these areas. We as Christians, with the power of God in us, can influence them all. We can be involved in life. Start with your kids. Start with your right here in this church. Say, what can I do? Well, who can I serve? What can I get involved in? You know, I don't want to start examples overseas. What about right here? What about orphans right here? What about fatherless right here? Right here. Do you see them? Do you care? Does God move you to do something? Then do it. And what I want to end with is this. You know, you wrestle with, well, what's God's purpose for my life? What am I to do? What's the next steps? What what's God calling me to? Here's what I've learned in my life. What's the last thing that God told you to do? Did you do it? If you didn't, go back and do it. It can be the smallest thing. Maybe it's to apologize. Maybe it's to pay a debt. Maybe it's to pray. Maybe I don't even want to name things. What has God spoken to you about? To be grateful. Okay. What? Go back to that thing and do it. And say, God, I'm going to fulfill what I heard you speak to me. I'm going to fulfill what I said I would do. I'm going to be faithful with this. Go and do it. And I tell you, you will hear God speaking to you. You will see God's leading in your life. Why would God show us things if we're not going to do it? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, 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 and you don't do what I say? That's what faith is. Faith is hearing God, following hard after him, loving with our whole hearts, and doing what he says. Not because that doing it saves us, but because we're saved, we do it. We live life. So what's God saying to you? What do you have to act on? What do you have to believe him for? As I was saying, you know, about our little brochure, whatever we wrote on there, whatever we prayed for, whatever we asked God for, I'm telling you, it was fulfilled. God did it. And it's like somewhere along the line, we can quit asking. We can quit believing. We can lose faith. We can lose the thrill of Christian life again. We can talk about the old days. We can talk about stuff that happened. It's like, no, God wants today's faith. He wants to live the adventure today in our life, to take steps of faith today and say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to fulfill that calling. So if Paul was here this morning, he would look at some of you and say, hey, fulfill that call that's on your life. That call that, for some of them, when I laid my hands on you, fulfill that. Whatever God spoke to you, fulfill it. Do it. And I could, we were at a conference on Saturday last week with Bob McGregor. And he's talking about fulfilling your destiny, your destiny in God. And he had some questions. Maybe I'll put them up one day. Just about what makes you angry? It's like, well, maybe God's working through that. You know, you get angry and you see unrighteousness. You see the unfairness in the workplace. You see people being abused. Whatever, maybe that God's working through that. Different things that God uses. What's your background? What do people see in your life? What have you been successful at? What have others told you you're good at? Those are all things. Those are all signs pointing to things that I should be doing in my life. What have you done in the past that worked? Maybe there's more of that. What brought life to you? My wife loves people. People energize her and bring her life. She go after people. I don't have that gift. I got other gifts. What brings life to you? Go after the things of God. Do not just settle down, settle back into, okay, and you know, it's February 2017, this year, so far I haven't made too many mistakes this year. No, man, what is God calling you and I to do? I started the beginning of the year saying I'm going to be grateful, more grateful, and I thank God for the Spirit of God, and I also thank God for the tests. Oh. To keep a gratitude in your heart, a thankful and mindset of thankfulness. Okay, now let's talk about faith. Do you have a mindset of faith? Do you have an attitude of faith? It says, I'm going to live this life for God. You don't want to be the 600-pounder. Let me end with the thought from Nashon's life group. When you find the call, when you find the mission of your life, there's different, when you find faith, that's because I'm talking about limitless faith, the life of God. When you find that faith, when you find that mission, when you find that purpose, when you find that calling, I don't care what term you use this morning, it gives you strength. It gives you the ability to overcome temptation. You're tempted with things. You're struggling with trials. You're Or persecution. I don't know how persecution's working in your life. People are coming against you. You're being told you're wasting your time, whatever. But when you are on that mission of God, that's what James was talking about to the scattered believers who are struggling, going through trials, fiery trials, tests, persecution. He said, by being a doer of the word, by being someone who's following hard after God, you overcome temptation. You overcome trials. Get busy for God and you don't have time for a lot of other stuff. My challenge again this morning is, what is your faith like? What is your faith, the faith that's in you? Is it genuine? And it starts with a relationship with Jesus. It starts with putting your trust in Him, having that mental assent and acknowledging Him as Lord, and then acting upon that and turning from your sin and turning from your wicked ways and allowing His Holy Spirit to come in and change you from the inside out. But then life starts. This church is called Enjoy Life for a reason. Go read all the signs. We put them all away because we were so tired of all those signs for 7 years. It's like, we need some new signs. But every one of those verses was, you know, He will give life. He brings life. We are to live everlasting life. It's not just a length of life. It's a quality of life that I live for God, and I want to have it, and I want to live it. And the way to get it is what He's been telling us is to live it, to do it, to serve others, to love God and love others and live it out in your life. It's not found in mountaintops. It's not found in just reading. It's actually in the doing. It's actually in putting into practice what Jesus has told us to do, and it's limitless. You say, but I don't have a lot of money. You don't need a lot of money. You know, can I tell one more story? Sorry, I'm enjoying myself, and I've told you I quit, but I lied. I remember we had a band in Tanzania called the Good News Band, and I felt God tell us to start it and all these things, and make a long story short, hopefully. I was at a meeting, and there's a Kenyan evangelist, I forget his name. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. And he was preaching, and we came forward for prayer, and he was challenging us to believe God, to faith, and just bigness in life and believing God. So I went forward, and he prayed for me, and I remember, I wasn't out of my body, you don't lose your mind, but I remember being slain on the floor. I just had to be on the floor. I've been there many times in my life. And God spoke to me on the floor. It's like I was pinned on the floor. And I heard God, as much as, if I know God, I heard God say, take the band to Canada. And I was scared, but I remember getting, it's a long process, praying, get up. And I said to the guys, you know, I think God's told us that we should go to Canada. We had no money. We had just faith. It's a long story. So what I did is I took my credit card, and I bought tickets for 9 of us to fly to Canada. And I had a plan. I'm not stupid. Remember that? I said that earlier. Keep that in mind when I say these things. Because I had some tax money coming, and I had some stuff, and I could sell stuff, and okay. And I bought these tickets. Said, God, if it's you, step out. And I what happened is we came in 1995, whatever it was, we spent 64 days here, or 60 days, 2 months. It was minus 34 the whole time, like warmed up to minus 34. Like, honestly, it was 5 feet of snow that year. It was crazy. The band never saw the ground. They never even saw a highway. Like, because we were all up north and everywhere else. But what happened is we had revival for 60 days. We had 64 services in 60 days. And most of the time, we'd end the services at 12, 12:30, sometimes later. When we're in reservation places, 3 in the morning, we're eating turkey suppers. They're like, this is different, 3 in the morning. God moved, and He provided, and He accomplished. Like, I could tell you stories all morning about just those 60 days of what God did. And it started with just hearing God. And my prayers this morning, you would hear God again. You'd hear Him through the Word. You'd hear Him through worship. You'd hear Him just through communion. You'd hear Him through the kids. You'd hear Him through something speaking to you. And He might just be saying, do this. He might just be saying something simple. Do it. do it.